The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of the Lord. For whatever reason this year, it seems like these feast days that we are celebrating, Pentecost, Holy Trinity, Corpus Christi, they all seem to be connected so much more than, for me anyway, than they've ever been before. My homily last week was on the Blessed Trinity, and it was based on the relationship of persons, my homily, and how we must widen what that meaning of the word person is. The Father who is begetting the Son is beyond human limitations. That Father and Son relationship only tries to explain the relationship of God the Father and God the Son. That because there is no past or future in God, this constant begetting and being begotten is in the eternal moment when the Son is also becoming man in the incarnation. The Son is becoming. And as I was thinking about it this week, I thought we could have another whole reflection on that eternal moment of conception and how that has set aside for us the Blessed Virgin Mary for very special veneration. But in the same way that we considered the concepts of person, time, and relationship last week, in a new way, I want to now challenge you to consider Eucharist. By the way, my homilies are always on the website, so if you want to go back and listen to it, you're welcome to. What is the Eucharist? Is it a thing made from creation? Certainly wheat and grapes are involved. We are involved, so we are all creations. And are able to turn that wheat and grapes into bread and wine. But we can't make Eucharist. I know this is one of the most common expressions of people, and it drives me crazy. I made my first Holy Communion. You don't make it. You can't make it. So what we receive in Eucharist is actually created, but it's also the Creator. I think in Jesus we see the ultimate revelation of the Blessed Trinity itself in union with our humanity. So when we talk about Jesus Christ in the Creed, one of the expressions we use is begotten, not made. In that mystery of the Incarnation where Jesus is mighty God and Prince of Peace, like we heard in the invocations of the penitential rite just now, Mighty God and Prince of Peace, Son of God and Son of Mary, Word made flesh and still splendor of the Father. All these things are true. And they're trying, we're trying our best to try to explain what is actually happening here as we come to communion. I spoke about this a lot last year, but the difference between being begotten and being made there's completely separate realities. If you're begotten, that means you have to be made of the same stuff as your parents. So the idea of a chicken's not going to beget a mouse, for example, because it just can't. It always has to be according to the same nature of being begotten. But to make something, you can take something that's created and make it a totally different reality. And how in the wonder of the incarnation we can see Jesus, who is begotten, not made, has become his creation with a human nature. So that he's crossed these lines now between God and man, between what is divine and what is human. What is made becomes begotten in Jesus. And it's not just bread that becomes body of Christ. It's us who also become body of Christ. The same miracle of the incarnation happens in every place, in every mass, from the rising of the sun to its setting. The miracle happens. Jesus is being begotten in us. There's a beautiful catechesis of this, if you noticed, in the readings today, and this doesn't happen by accident, of course. The first reading about the covenant with Moses. Moses brought to the people the words and ordinances of the Lord, which would have been the Ten Commandments, plus probably some other things. And the people respond unanimously, "We will do everything that the Lord has told us." And then Moses writes down the words. Early the next morning, he sets up an altar and he has young bulls sacrificed. He splashed half of the blood on the altar. And then it doesn't say, but it's presumed he sprinkled the blood on the people, just like Ezra and Nehemiah did at the Watergate when the first word was proclaimed after the exile in Babylon. He says to them, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words of his." The covenant was ratified in blood. In the gospel acclamation today, Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven." So he's equated himself with this food. And then the account of the Last Supper in the gospel today. "This is my blood of the covenant." In Mass, we say the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many, so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me. The parallel could not be more obvious between the covenant with Moses. In this moment, Jesus is fulfilling what God had given to Moses and the people. But this time, they are not simply being sprinkled with it. They are receiving it. In case we missed the point, St. Paul makes it really clear in the second reading. "Brothers and sisters, when Christ came as high priest of the good things that have come to be, passing through the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made by hands, that is, not belonging to this creation, he entered once for all into the sanctuary, not where the blood of goats and calves is sacrificed, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of a heifer's ashes can sanctify those who are defiled so that their flesh can be cleansed, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, So again, what is the Eucharist that we're about to receive, the Eucharist that we celebrate today? It is, in fact, a person, not a thing. It is the person of the only begotten Son of God himself, the person in the incarnation. The church teaches our children when we come to receive Holy Communion, make your hands a throne to receive your King. Do you see there? It's a person that you're receiving, not a thing. Make your hands a throne to receive him. It is not a past event. There is no past in God. Communion is not something we get, even though that would be enough even to reveal to us the unconditional love of God himself for us. We receive nothing less than the uncreated Creator coming to us for the purpose of relationship. Person, time, relationship. The fulfillment of my homily last week. And our answer, amen, is not merely a statement of faith, but it is a commitment to this covenant, a relationship, as the people said at the time of Moses, we will do everything that the Lord has told us.